Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio celebrating over 10 years on the air. Hey, good morning. Carl, Linda, Bob, Linda. It's Tuesdays on assignment, of course. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live all over the world. 7:05 in the morning here on the 11th of February, 2020, and news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Good morning to Sue.
Good morning, okay, Carl.
So I'm listening to Sue on the way in, and it's so evenly modulated, your voice. It was so soothing, I thought, yes, I can make it through the day. Yes, I can make it to work today, because Sue has got everything under control. That's the feeling I had.
Well, good.
So there. So you've got a lot to live up to. Have you found the weather yet?
I did. I have the weather for you. Today it's going to be sunny and 73 with a low of 41 with mostly clear skies. Tomorrow more sunshine and a high of 69 as lows drop down to 38. Now for Thursday, sunny and 65. However, Thursday night there is a 20% chance of showers and a low of 39. For Friday, sunny and 65. As we head into the weekend, we could see some high clouds. Otherwise, partly sunny for Saturday and Sunday with just a very slight chance of showers. Saturday, you can expect a high of 62 and a low of 42. Sunday, 61 and a low of 38. It's currently clear in downtown Redding. Red Bluff is currently 61, 60 in Anderson, 54 in the city of Shasta Lake, and 57 degrees in downtown Redding. Now, we do have a traffic hazard reported at Airport Road and Dersh Road, tying up traffic. Look for an alternate route. Also, we do have quite a bit of road maintenance in and around Redding because the weather is beautiful. And if you're traveling north on I-5 or towards the coast, 299 West, expect possible delays. Now, Carl, back to you.
Okay. The weather is always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson. Has started, 20-something years ago, and has continued to expand. Has won awards for hiring veterans. And they just do very much for our community besides provide the best propane service around. That's Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call, 365-3793. They always have discounts for seniors and veterans. And, yes, it is Turtle Bay Day. And I'm sitting here with Ryan Odey and Julia Cronin and, of course, Sharon Clay, who is next to me with a – you know what? We called them three steps back in the jungles. Because if it bit you, you got three steps before you fell over. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Carl.
Okay, maybe that's not what it is.
Yeah, not this one.
Not
no.
this
not
one.
Not if it's wrapped around my waist and sitting on my lap.
Yeah, you know, okay, now, I want to, Sue, at some point here, in this half hour, I've got to run in there and get my camera because I've got a shot of Sharon here with a but is this a boa or a python?
Actually a python. You were right the first time. You said python.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I said a python.
Always trust your instincts.
Right? Trust my instincts. And it's wrapped around her waist. And it's he came over here giving me a little snaky lick right there. But we know that means it's just kind of testing the air.
That's right. We call it a handshake, snake handshake.
The snake handshake.
That's right. That's right.
Well, if you reached out and shook hands with you, it'd be a little scary.
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So good morning, everybody. Who wants to start first?
Morning.
Good morning.
Ryan, Julia?
Yeah, I can kick things off and introduce Julia. Well, we're off to an amazing start of 2020 for Turtle Bay, and we just want to just say also a big thank you to Redding. Our attendance has been awesome here, and some of that's thanks to the beautiful weather we've been having. We had a sold-out Chocolate After Dark event.
I was going to mention
week.
That. Can,
yeah.
I, can I jump
yeah,
in right
yeah.
here? Linda had a girls' night for that.
I saw her there,
and, yeah, and she said, first of all, it was totally sold out, she said, but the exhibits, and I'm sure we'll get into the exhibits here in a second, she said were wonderful.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
The whole family can go to it, and it's got something for everybody there. But, she said it was a wonderful event, totally successful. So good job there, gang.
Yeah, yeah, it was an awesome event, and we hope people continue to check out all those vendors that participated in town. But yeah, so I think, Turtle Bay just has a thank you in order for just the community support. And we're really excited about this, group of exhibits. And we brought along our curator of exhibits to, have a little dialogue, with you, Carl, and go a little bit deeper on those two exhibits we have.
Okay, Julia, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it's always fun to have you here because every one of your exhibits are different, of course. Naturally.
Well, we're trying to serve a huge variety of population and a large audience that has a lot of different interests.
Anything from the Civil War to the Titanic. I think that was the very first one I went to. Was the Titanic.
Back in 2007.
Right after I'd moved here.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, gone every time. But I haven't been to the latest one yet.
Well, we do have something special for you then, because you did serve, and I forgot to bring the brochure, but the John Schuller, the Lost Man Blues Art and War, is an incredibly impactful exhibition. The artist John Schuller, the late John Schuller, spent all of World War II in the nose cone of a B-17 bomber as the navigator, and he, before the war, he had a graduate degree. He had intended to become a writer. He was already writing. And after the war, he had a medical discharge. He had, you know, basically what they called at the time shell shock and a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone around him had died. And he got to that point where he was like, why isn't it me? You know, what did I do wrong that people are dying around me? And he wrote, but he also began painting. And he's an abstract expressionist. And his subject matter is the sky, but it's the sky from different perspectives. And in this particular instance, Lost Man Blues is about his PTSD and about his service. But there's also some other artwork in there to, you know, sort of compare what else he was doing with sky work. And then also his writings are included as well. And we have his book available in the store. And it's very emotional and powerful. And we've been getting a great reaction from folks just, you know, from the beauty of the artwork, but also from the story. And you know, there's a wonderful brochure that's available that you can pull and read about his experience, et cetera.
Well, this is one of your exhibits I actually knew something about before it got here.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Because I knew about Paul Schuller.
And John Schuller?
I'm sorry, John Schuller.
Did you, Carl?
I knew about Schuller. Okay.
You know about Schuller.
I wasn't sure about the first name. But I'd read about him and how he how his way of handling the post-traumatic stress was his paintings. But Linda, I really didn't know his writing. And Linda came home and said he was a beautiful writer.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely a fantastic writer, too. All I knew about was his paintings. Mm. And so I have not been down there yet, but I plan on getting down there this weekend.
Definitely come in.
And see it. I think this is something that... it's going to touch a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
It really is. Well. And it's very we have some amazing art docents in there as well who are explaining how this isn't something your three-year-old can paint just because it's an abstract. But if you look, if you get up close to the work and you look, there are some with, like, bristles embedded because he was just thrashing on the canvases.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the one we own, which is from 1950, before the body of work that's presented there, it was one of his very early paintings, is just, you get up on it and you realize there's, like, this violence and passion to this abstract painting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Magda Schuller, his widow who curates his estate, is going to be there on March 14th doing a lecture on that Saturday about his work. And,
we'll make sure that we really get the word out about that.
Definitely. She's a very amazing woman. And the actual curator of the show, Marissa Roth, isn't able to make it, but you can read why she selected these particular paintings and why she worked with Magda to make this exhibition and why it's so timely for our world now, since we have so many people coming out of the service with, you know, a lot of distress.
But you know what? And I want to throw this out to everybody. It's not just servicemen.
No, it's not.
Who have PTSD. It's our society today that, you know, have had, you know, experiences that they still wake up in the middle of the night, whether it's sexual assault, loss of loved ones, and for the families as in the book, A Stranger in My Bed, that if the serviceman has PTSD, so does the family.
Right.
So this is you can see a lot of different people.
Well, and also our community and Paradise and just the Northern California in general has suffered a lot lately from loss from fire and
absolutely.
The stresses
absolutely.
Of that. And I actually covered that a little bit in the show with our piece, because our piece looks like a fire at night. And when my neighborhood was on fire during the car fire, mm-hmm. there was a photograph in the Record Searchlight of my neighborhood on fire, and it was that painting. And I saw that photograph while sitting at someone else's house, wondering if I had a house. I still do have a house, thank goodness. My neighbors don't. And I saw that painting in my head when I saw the photograph. And I went, oh, I got to talk to the curator because they weren't going to use this in the show. They're not going to travel that particular piece. But I called her up and I was like, is it okay if we use this one? And here's why. Our whole community will recognize what this is when they see it.
Yeah.
And so I sent her the photograph from the Record Searchlight. I sent her a picture of the painting so she would remember what it looked like. And she's like, absolutely, please include this in your show. So I put
I'm sure that
information on that.
That painting had to do with running on bombing missions.
Probably.
Running over Germany and bombing the fires down below.
Yeah, black and red and yellow and just amazing.
We got to take a quick break here. I'm here with Turtle Bay, and this we're talking about this one exhibit by John Schuler. And he expressed his effects of the war in his paintings, and they're just absolutely fabulous. Plus, he's just an absolutely great writer, too.
And an absolutely just great abstract expressionist.
Okay. So, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Orchard Nutrition. Orchard Nutrition is, it's been here with us since 1982. It was set up to be able to help people by Joe Martino, and it has been the best in the North State every year that there was a category for this, I mean in a row. And the reason is that they care about their customers, and they make a point of having everything 100% certified organic. Now, that means from the earth to the plants to the table. Also, the meat they have there, plus the supplements, everything they have. Free classes, health. You can go into their seminars. Like I said, it's free. They do it every month. Or you can look at the seminars. Each one of them has been taped, and you can see or videoed, and you can see them online at OrchardNutrition.com past seminars. So, Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. The only place we go to buy vitamin supplements, and if we were looking for that really fresh food, right there at Organic, right there at Orchard Nutrition. We'll be right back with Turtle Bay.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did it. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl Lundabot, 7:21 in the morning, and I want to remind everybody about the Fight for Liberty Town Hall meeting. That is Saturday, February 15th at 4 p.m. this Saturday. It's going to be at the Anderson Veterans Hall, and it's going to be a number of people there. The main speakers, Mark Beard and Patrick Jones. We get a chance to meet Dr. Paul DeNuca. Tell a story about coming to America and his kind of a rags to riches story, and be able to ask him some questions there. Dr. DeNuca, of course, is running for his Assembly First District. And does my voice sound exactly the same, sir? I'm being evenly modulated here because I'm being hugged by a python right now. 7:21 in the morning.
I never thought I'd see the day.
Can you tell us quickly what the other event is before so we can get to sharing that?
Really quickly, we've got four more exhibitions. One is the annual children's art exhibition in the main museum. We also have a wonderful family-oriented exhibition called Treasure, which is about all aspects of what people consider to be treasure and treasure hunting. So you can drive a little remotely operated vehicle, you can sink a pirate ship, you can pan for gold, you can do all these things in this treasure exhibition, but it also talks about like the treasures in your attic and just the treasures in your family. Really fun show from NRG. And then we decided, since it's about gold mining, we did better talk about our local aspects of that. So we did an exhibition called Shines Like Gold that talks about all of the different aspects of what happened in our area because of mining. And we're featuring these guys are cracking me up.
The python is going around my neck. The python is going around my neck.
The python is objecting. Once it's 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
So the other exhibition is a visual exhibition of Mark Oliver's stage production, Voices of the Golden Ghosts, mm-hmm. which he's been doing all over the North State, and that's about African-American gold miners, and you can come see some information about it in our museum as well. So we're kind of very well-rounded right now.
That's cool. Okay. Again, like Linda saw all the exhibits, and she thought it was just absolutely fabulous. Okay, Sharon.
Yes.
I've got the python.
You do.
Wrapped around me.
You do.
It was going for the neck.
She was. It was a nice place for her to hold on to.
Yes, yeah. It's easy for you to say. Okay, now tell me about your the python.
This is Daintree. She is one of our ambassador animals at Turtle Bay, and she is a jungle carpet python. They're found in Australia. And they actually live up in trees, so the listeners can't tell, but she's really grabbing the most with her back end, her back half, back third of her body along your arm, and they hold on to trees and they hang the other two-thirds of their body down, and then they have heat pits in their upper and lower lips, and they're able to sense, it's like night vision goggles,
sure.
They're able to sense the heat
of bats. And these guys actually catch flying foxes, which you know, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Those are large bats.
Huge. They're the largest species of bat. They have a 6-foot wingspan. And they will actually hang from that tree, just wait, look for the heat signal. So they come by, just shoot out, grab a bat, and pull it all in, wrap coil around it. They're constrictors, right? Kill it. Mm-hmm. And then swallow it head first. They have to swallow it head first because it folds those wings back in nicely for them.
Well,
yeah.
How big a bat could this – could what's the name again?
Daintree. Yeah. She's not full grown yet.
Whoa.
So,
obviously, I wouldn't be having him. Because we're rolling around on the ground right now.
She's got a little bit more to go. She's actually getting up there in size. She's about 6 feet right now. She can get up to about 8 feet. So she's got a little bit farther to go. We do not feed her bats at Turtle Bay. She eats rats at Turtle Bay is what we feed her. And she's actually a little bit of a finicky eater. She prefers to have lots of little mice rather than one big rat. So,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's like little chicken nuggets instead of the whole rotisserie.
Why you one time and gorge yourself?
That's right.
So how many mice will she eat?
We'll feed her like 6 or 7 at a time.
And how long does that last?
She only eats once every 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know she wants it again?
You actually can – well, we offer her food every 2 to 3 weeks, and sometimes she doesn't even eat. Mm-hmm. So you can tell behaviorally. She'll start getting way, way more active, and you'll know that they really want to eat. But we offer food whether they want to eat or not. Lots of our snakes actually won't eat much in the winter, but they get offered food every 2 weeks anyway. You don't want to offer food any more than that because and actually get overweight like any other animal.
Well,
so,
you know, let's talk about what's happening in Florida, if you don't mind, real quick.
Yes.
Florida seems to have a huge influx of pythons and boa constrictors because people let them loose in the Everglades.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no enemies, and they just proliferate down there.
Correct. So there's this is the whole story of invasive species. So in Florida, it's the tegus, the boas, the pythons.
Iguanas.
The iguanas, correct. Around here, it's cats. All over the U.S., it's red fox are actually an invasive species. We have so many. The cane toads that we released in Australia.
European doves.
Everywhere, right? Yeah. The European doves here, exactly.
The European doves, I think, year round because they have
absolutely because they're an invasive species.
Yeah.
So, in Hawaii and lots of places, it was the wild hogs. I mean, it was the hogs. So, I mean, this is the situation all the time about people being responsible owners of their pets. First and foremost, that's where it can happen right here at home. The other is a lot of it is industrial, like things happen on boats or bad decision making, through other levels. But what people can do themselves is be responsible pet owners. If you get a pet, you're keeping that pet contained its entire life. And I know people don't really like to hear this, but it's cats too. I mean, cats are actually considered an invasive species.
I just saw that in I just saw an article about that. Why aren't cats listed as an invasive species?
Yeah,
just an article just a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it's because we all think of them as our beloved pets, and no one wants to think of them that way. And so there's a little bit of that emotional part of it. And believe me, I have cats at home. Cats are my pet of choice. But cats don't belong outdoors. They've actually sent over 13 species of birds to extinction. So, we talk again about the pythons and stuff in the Everglades. It's destroying the environment, destroying species there. We actually have similar things happening right here in our own backyard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just talk about on a good thing.
Okay, good.
But about our exhibits here, and can anybody hold Daintree?
No, Daintree? No, we don't allow just anybody to hold or touch our animals because we want the animals. We always talk about, especially with the kids, talk about it's like stranger danger, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want all these strangers coming up and touching you all the time. So we like to give our animals the free choice and the space to just be, and so we don't really allow that. But people can come and see her. So Daintree lives in the Mill Building. She lives in our big redwood exhibit. We're kind of freaking out the people outside the window right now.
People walking by. Came back to take a look.
That's pretty great.
That's right.
We like that, right? We want people to be interested. So people can see her in our Mill Building exhibit. But right now, this weekend, is our very last Rock and Reptiles program. So our winter programming for animals is coming to a conclusion this summer. Those people are back again, showing their friends off the snake now. we got a thumbs up. So, Yeah, Daintree is a pretty impressive snake. People should come out and see her. She's pretty amazing. Not only is she large, but she's beautiful. I mean, she's got the yellows and blacks, so she can blend in with the rainforest. But Rockin' Reptiles is this Friday. It's the last one, 2 p.m. Saturday is our survival animal show. They can see all kinds of animals. The kookaburra flies over everyone's head, and some fun stuff like that on Saturday. And then on Sunday is the final animal parade, which is some definitely a crowd guest favorite, where people get to go for a walk with the porcupine. Yeah, Spike. I know Spike's one of your favorites.
Yeah, Spike got underneath Bob Belongi. He's not Bob Belongi's favorite when he crawled underneath Bob and started wanting to eat the wiring.
Right.
But anyway, okay, and that's going to be this Saturday.
Saturday, so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 2 p.m., there's three different animal programs. Last one's before we get ready for our summer show.
Okay.
So come see that summer show. That one's really fun, too.
This is cool.
Lots of changes this year for the summer show.
This is the longest I've ever held a python, except the time that I was in Borneo, and I had a 30-foot one wrapped around me, and we were... Okay, that's another story.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
to join Turtle Bay costs the sum of $90, mm-hmm. and it means two adults, two children, or four children. Mm-hmm. Don't have to be your four children. You could have two and two, or three and one, or just grab some kids off the street.
That's right.
And come on in and see these great exhibits and support Turtle Bay. Turtle Bay is, you're saying it's just we're having a, we had a wonderful year last year.
Yeah.
And we're really looking forward to this
Garden of Lights.
This extravaganza, because it could be anywhere from 50,000 lights to 150,000 or 500,000.
Yeah.
They're right and still in the planning stages. So, thanks so much for being with us. And everybody, take the time to come down there and see what a wonderful asset we have in our community is at Turtle Bay. So, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Jessica and Andy, who are the ones that put us back on the air after we were having a problem up on the tower. And I just wanted everybody to meet these people because they are really extraordinary people and got a great story. Anyway, well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
There's nothing like it on Earth. The all-new Jeep Gladiator. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our cash and Jeep Gladiator giveaway swipe to win promotion. Win free slot play Thursdays at 8 p.m. All winners receive bonus entries. Two semifinal drawings. $10,000. Grand prize drawing Thursday, March 26th. Win a 2020 Jeep Gladiator Rubicon. One of a kind with exceptional design. Purchase from SJ Denim. Details at WindRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
This is Supervisor Leonard Modi. We want leaders who are trusted to do what's right for our community. They value input from others. Leaders seek solutions rather than just complain about the problems. That's why I'm running for re-election for supervisor. I have brought forward ideas to improve our community. I have the experience, knowledge, and most importantly, the integrity to do the job.
Vote Leonard Modi, Supervisor District 2.
Paid for by the Committee to Re-elect Leonard Modi, Shasta County Supervisor District 2, 2020.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com. Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Electricity.
Where do you think it all comes from? This powerful
electricity.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. This portion of the show brought to you by Clyde's Enterprises, the original and still the best. I mean, you've been in the business for 47 years. You probably know what you're doing. And it, for sure, Clyde does. 32 years in the satellite business, your source for Dish Network, and he specializes in home electronic and home entertainment systems. Sony, Samsung, LG, Klipsch, Bose. Not only do you buy the TV from Clyde, then he'll come in and give you surround sound and everything else you need to make it work. Clyde's Enterprises, again, the original is still the best at 1250 Hartnell Avenue. Give him a call at 221-4144 before you go to those big box stores. Okay, I want you all to meet Jessica and Andy Forbes. I met them for the first time, what's today? So it was last week, last Tuesday. And as you know, we were fighting this battle that the FM was off the air. And I'd already been up the hill twice and had, you know, we had tested it. I tested it, made sure the transmitter was great, everything else was working. So I had reached, and I started up the tower. And this is the good part. Started up the tower, got about halfway up there, and realized this could be a bigger job than I was prepared to do because the equipment I had was not, it wasn't something I was really comfortable with. And you're hanging up in the air for any period of time. Plus the fact is I wasn't sure what I was going to do when I got up there anyway. So somebody gave me the name of Andrew Forbes, and I gave him a call. He said, yeah, I'll meet you up there. And so Andy and there was somebody sitting in the truck with them, and I couldn't identify it. You know, I thought because they had their hood up over their head and all that. I just thought it was his, you know, maybe his kid came with him today or something. I was totally wrong. So I want to introduce you to Andy. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Jessica.
Good morning.
Good morning. And so so you all got up there, and they got out of the truck. Andrew's looking up there. And Jessica is putting on the climbing gear. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, oh. And I said, you're the climber.
Yep, I'm the climber.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about Andrew Forbes and it's Andrew Forbes Communications.
Technologies.
Technologies. Get in a little bit closer there, buddy.
Okay.
Technologies. Okay. So what kind of work do you all do?
Mostly internet and communication. You know, computers, anything technology related, phones, wireless internet, Wi-Fi, cabling, any of the cameras,
anything like that. Then
anything that's pretty much anything that's technology related.
Okay, which is another great reason. I'm so glad I met you too, because we're getting ready to do some new stuff here and wiring and all those kind of things. So, and Jessica, the first thing I said was, you've been climbing long? tell us about you and climbing.
So, originally, when I was a little kid, my mom used to tell a story that when I was born, they cut off my tail thinking it was my umbilical cord. So, I've always been a monkey, so climbing has kind of just been my thing. So, And not only that, but most of you can't see me. I'm little. I'm short in stature. I've always been pretty lightweight, and so climbing just comes naturally for me. Whenever anybody was looking for me, they'd always find me in the treetops.
And you said when you met Andy, things were kind of cool because?
Well, I had grown up doing different things, and in high school I had explored doing rock climbing. And Andy was already into search and rescue and rock climbing and all that kind of stuff. And so I didn't have the gear because I wasn't at that point in my life yet. Uh-huh. But he had all the gear, so we kind of just meshed.
marriage made in heaven. Okay, and Andy is also, you're also a volunteer fireman.
Yes.
Out in
Bella Vista.
Bella Vista. Yep. And you've been fighting fires here for a couple of years.
I've been a volunteer just for the last couple of years in Shasta County, but previous to that I worked in down in the Bay Area in the fire service. And so I'm bringing that training up, you know, and being able to help my local community with what I know from working in a bigger city.
And you've worked on the big fires, of course.
Not around here. Yeah,
okay.
Just because I'm getting started in the volunteer program.
Okay.
You got to go through a bunch of steps to become a volunteer and actually go on the fires. I mean, I've helped with little things here and there around our station, but I'm working on getting that training through so that I can do more and help out more.
Okay, well, you said you came up from the Bay Area. Were you all down there for a while?
Yeah, that's actually where we met. We actually met through Yahoo Personals.
Hey, it works.
Yeah, it does.
It obviously works.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you why in a few minutes here. But so when you get these, because when I was trying to find somebody that could climb the tower and knew what they were doing, Gent gave me your name. And it turned out he was perfectly right. He says they really know what they're doing. And so that day when you got there, she's putting on her equipment. And then she kind of leans over and tells me, oh, yeah, she says, I'm 14 weeks pregnant. I went, excuse me? Yeah, and she goes, yeah. And then she proceeded to go straight up the side of this tower and move over and hook herself in. And you looked extremely comfortable up there. I mean, in the sense of, yeah, this is just what I do.
Yeah, we've with the fact that we've been climbing for a while, it just... I'm very familiar with the ropes and how to hook up and everything, so it doesn't matter if it's a tower, if it's a rock, if it's a tree, just whatever it takes just to hook up.
And that's the big thing, because when I was climbing and we learned, you know, we're trying to keep 3 points of contact, you know, if you can, all the time. And so being able to strap yourself in or hook yourself in on the straps, and you just kind of like sat there.
Yeah.
You were swaying, and I've got photos, and they're on. If they're not already up there, they will be, of you swaying in the wind up there. Now, Andrew, you've been doing this a long time, and to watch you two, what a great partnership that was. You two are talking on the telephone, sending photos back and forth. You said technology has made a big difference.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially back in the day, you used to use radios and things like that when you're, you know, working on a tower, and I mean, we still do to some extent. If you can't have good voice communication, radios are much easier. But, you know, you used to not have the technology to send pictures back and forth, you know, locally, either digital camera or photo camera, but, you know, you could take a picture and you wouldn't get it for a week. So, you know, and being able to send those pictures up and down, or, you know, even just working on a roof of a building and in the building and sending those pictures back and forth, like, hey, this is the cable I'm using, or this is, you know, being able to use that stuff.
Yeah, in this case, I noticed that you were taking photos of the connectors.
Yes.
And we were having a little problem with the connectors because we didn't have the exact size, you know, for the load testing equipment. And but you all made that work.
Yep.
Right.
Not sure how you did that, but it was.
One of the big things for me is that, you know, growing up, I never was, you know, the box, thinking outside the box and thinking outside of the norm to figure out a solution for a problem is, you know, part of what allows me to do what I do really well is, you know, you don't think you know, I thought, hey, it's going to be a simple problem when we get up there. It's probably going to be the coax is bad because that's typically what fails, you know, is that coax cable, but it was new. So it's kind of like maybe there's water in it. And, you know, that's going to be a simple thing. We're going to go up there. We're going to find this simple problem and go, hey, it's a simple issue. Here's the problem. This is what we need to do.
We never do anything simple here at KCNR.
Of course not.
And that was interesting, too, because, you know, because it in 99 times out of 100, it would have been the coax because everything inside was working. And the you couldn't see any breaks in it, but then the coax went through it goes through a conduit, and you can't see it, and it goes underneath the ground for like 50 feet.
Yeah, and the conduit is full of water.
It's so full of water.
Typically, one little nick in the jacket of the coax, and the coax will eventually absorb water and cause failure of the cable.
Right.
You know, versus not typical that you have an antenna that decides to stop working.
Okay, and we're going to get to that right after this break. But I'm really happy y'all wanted to come in today and talk about this and this business of a partnership you two have and in your story, because it was just. It was a pleasure to watch you two work together and see how you two are such a team. And of course, you've been that way in life, too. And we'll mention that in a few minutes, too. We got to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living, located right downtown. It's Northern California's premier retirement community. This isn't an assisted living community. This is when you've had enough of electricity problems, you've had enough of doing your yard, you've had enough of plumbing, and you just say, hey, look, I want to travel, and I don't have to worry about where I live. I want to live in a nice place, and that's River Commons Senior Living. Gourmet chefs, activity directors, transportation, if you want to take transportation all over town, you know, a variety of programs going on there, friendly people, but you're not going to really understand that until you go down and you get a personalized tour from Brian Martin. So give Brian a call at 238-5981 and find out why so many people love living at River Commons Senior Living. They're very pet friendly. Yeah, you don't have to give up your pet. Remember, worry less, smile more. River Commons Senior Living. We'll be right back with Andrew and Jessica.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Did you know that the I-5 property where we would like to relocate our casino was supposed to be set aside for Native Americans nearly 170 years ago? My great-great-great-uncle actually signed Treaty H, one of the 18 unratified treaties with the United States government, which unfortunately, like many promises made to our ancestors, the treaty was never ratified. Reading Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marking this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Reading all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Our parents, grandparents, and loved ones, as they grow older, face many risks. But together, we can make a difference. You can support the Gatekeepers Program, which provides support, care, and protection needed by our elders. Come to the Shining Affair, a fundraiser for Shining Care. Here's your hosts and masters of ceremony, Carl and Linda Bott, to tell you more.
That's right. Save the date. Saturday, February 15th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Wind River Resort and Casino.
Share the love for the Gatekeeper's Shining Affair, an elegant evening of entertainment to benefit at-risk elders. Remember, bling, sparkle, and shine. Show your love and support for our seniors.
Semi-formal to formal, come dressed in your best bling, sparkle, and shine for a chance to win Best in Bling Awards.
And Carl, I'll see you in the kissing photo booth.
Oh, yeah.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. And today's the 11th of February. It's, it's going to be a beautiful day. What's the temperature right now, Sue?
The temperature outside is currently 57 degrees today, sunny and breezy, a high of 73 with a low of 41.
Yeah, weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, discounts for seniors and veterans. 365-3793 in Bastiani Arms is bringing us this segment. You know, when you think about a place to buy a firearm, you want to go to some place that you trust. Some place where the people are very, very knowledgeable of what they're doing, and not somebody just picked up this job the week before. And some place that has everything that you're looking for, including all the accessories, the ammunition. And if you want to have some work done on your firearms, you can go there too, because it's some of the best gunsmithing you're going to find anywhere in California. All that's at Bastiani Arms, locally owned, locally operated, and veterans get discounts at Bastiani Arms. Located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. You can give them a call at 222-8222, open Tuesday through Saturday. And it's the only place I buy guns is at Bastiani's. I trust them. 7:51 in the morning, and I'm here with Jessica and Andrew Forbes. And they're the ones that did the work to get us back on the air, and that's why I wanted to have them on, because it's kind of an exceptional story. But let me, you know, so after we did all that, and it turned out that after all of this, it was the antenna, because everything else was working. So I didn't have to say anything. Andy just gets on the phone with the antenna people, and they say, take it off, send it to us, we'll send you a loaner back. And all I'm thinking is, take it down. It's another 3 days off the air, because we have to get it back up again. And as Jessica is up there, you know, and it's not easy getting an antenna off the tower. But when you loosened it up, what happened?
So I loosened it up. I first had to attach it because you never want those things to fall. But I loosened it up, and I noticed water dripping out the end. I was kind of like, hey, it's, you know, I don't think this seems quite right.
That there's water inside your antenna.
Yeah.
And then did you call back, or did they just happen to call back right then?
The Bex guy happened to call me right after she noticed water coming out.
Yeah.
And, you know, the gentleman from Bext called back and said, hey, you know, I'll get you the RMA paperwork, and this is the best route. You know, we can do quick shipping, turn around so that you're back up quick. And I was like, hey, there shouldn't be water in that. Oh, no, there definitely shouldn't be water. That can cause some serious problems with your antenna. It's like, And he said, let it drain out. You know, try to fire it up on low power and see what happens. You know, because obviously water conducts electricity. FM radio is basically, you know, in the general sense, electricity. So
and reflects it back.
Yeah.
And then when it reflects it back, the transmitter just turns itself off to protect itself.
Yeah. Well, if it's shorted, which water will essentially do, it's going to go between the two elements of the antenna and say, you know, put the power right back to the transmitter. Well, the transmitter self-protects itself. Once it gets to a certain amount of power, it's going to be like, hey, no power's going out. It's all coming right back in on the cable. And so it's going to start shutting itself off so that it doesn't, you know, burn out that front end of the transmitter.
That $12,000 transmitter that's sitting there. He said, that's why we have a weep hole in it.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Which way was it pointing? And Jessica goes, well, it was pointing up a little bit. Well, it's supposed to be pointing down. So,
well, it's hard because that tower is a slant leg tripod, so it does have a little bit of a, you know, slant to it. So when you mount that antenna, if you tighten it down real good and not you're not careful about it, it will tend to want to walk up because it wants to be square with the tower.
Right.
And that's why a lot of those antennas you see are on a separate pole. You know, there's a pole mounted to the antenna that is vertical, straight up and down, mm-hmm. you know, level, and then they mount the antenna to it versus right on the tower because it will want to do that creep up.
Well, and then so Jessica went back, and after we did that and stepped back a little bit from the antenna, we fired it up, and it worked.
Yep, on low power, and it came on. So.
And then she tightened it down, so we're aiming down now, so the water, when it gets in there, because it's not waterproof, just the components in it are really waterproof. Mm-hmm. So now if the water gets in there, it'll just drip out.
Yep, because one of the things is it will create condensation from that, from the power, mm-hmm. you know, and the moisture in the air will create condensation in the antenna, and that's why they have that weep hole, so it can drain any moisture out.
So after everything we did, it turns out that we had water in our antenna. But you all, but Jessica and Andrew figured it out, fixed it, and then you went back inside and you started working on the transmitter because you're familiar with all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of similar in design, you know, with the user interfaces and the way you control them is all kind of the same basic idea. And so you can, you know, make adjustments. So we were adjusting the power and things like that and then looking for any problems on it. So we had it on low power when she was on the tower itself, and then we were able to power it back up to full power once she was done. But then also it was showing a few little errors that we cleared, you know, probably most of them related to the fact that the antenna had water in it.
Well, I just wanted to bring you all on, and we only got a couple minutes left. I wanted to bring you all on for two reasons. One, I wanted to talk about your business, Andrew Forbes Communication.
Technologies.
I keep saying communications. It's all in my head, technologies. But also what a great story you two have. Because when your climber is getting ready to go straight up the tower side, which you did, and you told me you were 14 weeks pregnant. But you also told me at the same time as you're going up there, y'all have 8 kids.
Yes, sir.
So what happens in about another 3 or 4 months, and then Andy goes up the tower?
We got to do what we got to do, Sophia.
Either that or our 15-year-old son will climb the tower.
Oh, so you got him trained already then.
Yep.
Oh.
So my kids do, you know, in projects that I can have them come on, they've all helped with communication stuff. So, you know, from terminating cables to unpacking stuff, setting stuff up, configuring stuff. I've taught them from a young age how to do a lot of this stuff mm-hmm. because it's that area is going to grow. I mean, there's no doubt about, you know, if you have a robot, you still have to have something control the robot. So mm-hmm. you got to have cabling, you got to have computers, and you got to have technology. Even though people are going wireless, you still have to have an infrastructure to support that wireless.
Well, you know what? You all are so organized, I imagine, having 8 kids is just another show, practically, you know, is that, you know, I mean, they're all a member of this. You probably the older ones help with the younger ones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The day that I was climbing the tower, our son was actually home taking care of all of the little ones. So our kids are, our oldest one just turned 18, and our youngest one is 20 months. So we've got stair-stepped about every 2 years.
Okay.
And they, you know, a lot of times we use the buddy system, you know, buddy up a little kid with a big kid and, you know, hey, help your sibling get dressed, help your sibling with what they need. And it also teaches the older kids life skills and, you know, mm-hmm. Teaches the younger ones not to rely so much on parents to, hey, I can talk to my siblings and make a connection with my siblings versus always having to, hey, mom, hey, dad, I need this.
Yeah, that would you know, then you'd be there all the time if it was, if you had to do that. So they've learned to rely on themselves and their siblings and their parents, of course.
Well, that, right. And they also take, you know, we homeschool, and so that we do more of a practical educational type program with homeschooling, you know, operating stuff. My daughter likes working on engines, so it's like, here, we have this lawnmower that broke. What do we need to do to fix it? And they'll watch videos, and, you know, now in the day and age, you can watch YouTube and figure out how to fix anything.
No.
You know, watch YouTube and figure out how to fix it and come up with an idea and, you know.
Okay. We've got to run here, but tell people how they can get a hold of you, because we're talking about any types of wiring, electronics, anything like that, in computers and building surround sound, yeah. Everything. You can do it all.
Yeah, mostly commercial and, you know, businesses. But so my phone number is 530-440-8367, or my email is andy@ajforbes.com. So it's pretty easy.
Yeah, and I just want to thank you all for the hard work you did up there that day. And
no problem.
And frankly, everybody, I have found somebody here that's going to be a member of our family for the continuing time we're on the air here, because there doesn't seem to be anything that Andy and Jessica can't do when it comes
you.
To that. No,
thank
I'm
you.
Just really thank, and I'm really glad I got a chance to meet you, and I hope everybody has a chance to meet you sometime. All right, we're going to take a quick break for the news, and we'll be right back with Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Voters that come out in mass today.
Not everyone agrees on the significance of today's New Hampshire primary, a small state without the diversity of more urban communities. But former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg says,
this is a moment for bringing as many people as we can into the picture.
Bernie Sanders expected to do well in his neighboring state.
To begin the process to end the presidency of Donald Trump.
And former Vice President Joe Biden says he's the champion of the middle class, blasting President Trump for bragging about the economy.
Guess where he got that good economy from? Obama-Biden administration.
I'm Jackie Quinn.
And while all eyes are focused on New Hampshire at the moment, Nevada caucuses are February 22nd, South Carolina's primary, February 29th. The Justice Department is filing suit against the state of New Jersey and King County, Washington, home to the city of Seattle, over sanctuary policies that hinder federal immigration officers. Health officials in China say medical facilities in rural areas are insufficiently equipped to stop the coronavirus outbreak that's killed more than 1,000 people.
The authorities overseeing China's national response to the virus admit that frontline medical workers in rural areas are ill-equipped. They said more must be done to ensure that village doctors have the face masks and medical supplies they need so they're not infected. China has poured money into its healthcare system in the past decade, but it's still patchy. 40% of China's 1.4 billion people live in the countryside, leading some to worry that the virus will continue to spread until all of China's health workers have the same access to supplies and resources.
That's the BBC's Celia Hatton reporting. More at townhall.com.
Statement is not evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Individual results will vary. If you tried to lose weight and failed, it wasn't your fault. According to leading medical experts, when we cut back on how much we eat, our body shifts into survival mode, reducing our metabolism and making us even hungrier. But now, a breakthrough discovery that helps you fight food cravings is available without a prescription. Riduzone uses your body's natural appetite control, a molecule called OEA, to break that cycle. Riduzone is the only product that contains OEA.
I've lost 75 pounds using Riduzone. My husband has lost 50 pounds using Riduzone. Riduzone has made it so that we eat less food, and it has taken away the cravings that we used to have. Riduzone has made it so that I can lose the weight without feeling hungry.
Go to Riduzone.com. Use promo code today to save up to 65% off your order. That's Riduzone.com. Save up to 65% and get free shipping by using promo code today at Riduzone.com. That's Riduzone.com.
Protests continue in the Palestinian territories over the U.S.-brokered Middle East peace plan.
As plans remained unclear about how and even whether the Palestinian Authority would take its grievances to the U.N. Security Council over the Trump administration's new Mideast peace plan, the Palestinian rank and file back home made its collective voice loud and clear. Some 15,000 people crowded into a main square in the West Bank city of Ramallah, just north of Jerusalem, filling it with the noise of shouts bells and whistles. PA Prime Minister Mohamed Shtayyeh was able to make himself heard. "The streets are full," he declared. "This is our response." A banner that was held aloft was decidedly more pointed. "Trump is part of the problem," it said, "not the solution." I'm Lawrence Ripken, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
News and analysis at themedialine.org and townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A federal judge has approved T-Mobile's $26.5 billion takeover of Sprint.
With his ruling, Judge Victor Marrero rejected objections from a group of states and removed a major obstacle to a shakeup in the wireless industry. After the deal closes, the number of major U.S. wireless companies would shrink from 4 to 3. T-Mobile says the deal would benefit consumers as it becomes a fiercer competitor to the larger Verizon and AT&T. But a group of state attorneys general tried to block the deal, arguing that having one fewer phone company would cost Americans billions of dollars in higher cell phone bills.
Correspondent Jeremy House reports that Judge Marrero ruled that while concern was valid, the possibility of it happening was remote. Under Armour plunging in trading at the opening bell, with the company anticipating a big financial hit from the viral outbreak in China. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, we're celebrating over 10 years on the air. Phone lines here are 605-4567. And it's a beautiful day today here on the 11th of February, 2020, 8:05 in the morning, and the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. That Shasta Regional Medical Center. Sue, what do we got on the horizon for weather?
Today in the North Valley, sunny and a high of 73 with a low of 41. For tomorrow, it looks like mostly sunny and a high of 69.
Yeah, hang in there, kid. I was like, whoa, that's it?
I have the hiccups. Sorry.
Local radio.
For Thursday, sunny and 65 with a low of 39, with a slight chance of showers. Friday, 65 degrees with a low of 39. Then Saturday and Sunday, it should be mostly sunny. There is a chance of showers with highs in the low 60s. Overnight lows dropping in the 40s. In downtown Redding, it's clear. Red Bluff, 64, 63 in Anderson. 54 in the city of Shasta Lake. 57 degrees in downtown Redding. A traffic collision just in front of Lassen View School. This is near Red Bluff. Be careful in that area. Also, we have quite a bit of road maintenance in and around Redding. And if you're traveling the I-5 corridor, expect delays closer to the Oregon border. Also, if you're heading towards the coast, expect possible ongoing delays due to slide repair just past Weaverville and a little bit closer to the coast. Now, Carl, back to you.
There you go. Hey, the weather and the road conditions are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned, locally operated, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Hey, by the way, the last thing I was going to – we were just in there talking with Jessica and Andrew Forbes on our antenna. And our antenna – the other thing, too, is the part of it is – we didn't get into that – could be, you know, slippage or other things that happen over a year of being up there on the top of a mountain. So – there's all types of reasons that it can happen like that. We just have to guarantee that when we go up and check it, that we keep it at a continued downward point. Only a degree, the guy said, only a degree. So hopefully we've got it fixed here, and we'll send Andrew up there about 6 months to make sure it's still okay. 8:07 in the morning, and I'm here with Casey Fatch, who is the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, and also Steve Davidson. And Steve is a retired, sheriff?
City of Redding.
City of Redding captain, that's right. And, you know what, when did you retire?
A long time ago, in 2002.
Okay, I was going to say I had not met you in that sense, and I knew, you know, I've run, you know, in, over the last 10 years, run into most of the police here on a friendly basis. And so
most of them.
Most of them. Except, well, the young man was really friendly. He pulled me over that day because I had a cell phone in my hand. I was trying to explain to him, I was talking to the VA, and it's the only time when the VA calls, you pick it up, and he was very, very polite as he wrote it out, the ticket, and thanked me for my service. So, you know, and that was cool. So then I went hands-free after that. But, Casey, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
It's on everybody's mind, because you can't get it, you can't, you know, turn on the TV or open up the newspaper or get online without seeing it. It's coronavirus.
So the coronavirus, I'll tell you, my advice about the coronavirus, if you contract coronavirus, you also need to contract Lyme disease, because I like coronas and my Lyme together. So anyhow, meanwhile, back at the ranch.
They had to make, you know, a couple announcements. It has nothing to do with Corona beer, and you just blew that one. So Corona and Lyme. Okay.
I think the numbers that we're getting out of China at this point aren't really – probably what's really happening over there, and what's
it's worse.
Probably a little more. I think it's a little more catastrophic. They're always a little slow to kind of tell us the truth of what's going on. I've heard multiple scenarios that this was some type of chemical weapons type of or a biological weapon kind of activity that they're playing with over there. They've had a lot of fatalities. It's already passed SARS. Which was 20 years ago. So, again, I think the dangerous part about that disease, I've had absolutely no prep to talk about this. Usually when I come on your show, I'll do a little research the night before so I can at least sound like what I'm talking about. But I did bring the joke. So.
Right. Well, we know what I was looking for is the fact is when they ask people if you're scared of the coronavirus here in the United States, most people are not. But the main reason is because they believe our healthcare system can handle this.
Well, yeah, it can. I think one of the main things that makes this particular virus dangerous is the incubation period. And the incubation period can be up to 14 days where you don't show any symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a little scary when you think about, you know, somebody could, you know, manifest into the acute stages after 14 days, and that 14 days they can come into a lot of contact with a lot of different people.
And that's why they've restricted a lot of the flights going into China.
And coming out.
And coming out, of course.
Definitely coming out.
And then the Wuhan province, I guess, is under quarantine. And yet they're saying thousands, if not maybe a million or so, have left the province.
Yeah, you just never know because, when did the virus first appear? How many people have, you know, I think it's a little different than SARS when you look at what happened with SARS. China's economy wasn't what it was now, and so there wasn't a lot of people traveling in and out of China. And so I think that's probably one of the bigger differences today, and then also the 2-week incubation period is very concerning.
Okay. So, you know, but the kind of things then is that for treatment on this is...
Wash your hands, hand washing is the best. I see people wearing masks all around. These masks that they're wearing aren't effective. I'm sorry.
I just read that. A lot of the masks people are buying, you might as well put on a bandana.
They're not. Do something a little more decorative than the mask. But the mask that, you know, there's a certain mask. I think it's an M90 mask that we use for, and they have to be specially fitted for you. It's just certainly, I don't know. Maybe it just doesn't make sense to me. But that's unfortunately there should probably be a little better public service campaign on the type of mask people should wear.
So the symptoms are, from what I understand, it's kind of like flu symptoms.
Yeah. What's dangerous about this one is, people get upper respiratory therapy, upper respiratory infections all the time. You know, you get sore throats, but these particular viruses attack the lower part of your lungs, and that's what makes it very dangerous, because that's where the pneumonia starts to manifest, and they're much harder to treat at that point. So,
well, Linda had pneumonia, but the doctor that, you know, they do the upper part of the chest when they're listening to it, and she went to see a friend who is an older doctor, and he went straight to down lower in the back.
Right,
he says it sounds like cellophane.
Yeah,
and then when she told the other doctor that, he went and listened to it too, and so they treated her for pneumonia from that thing. So, okay, but it's the type of it hasn't manifested itself real strong. We've got really isolated cases here.
Not in the U.S. yet, but I just think the numbers coming out of China are probably not real accurate. And then you heard the physician that actually blew the whistle on it and was basically sequestered and squashed and said, don't talk about it. You know, and this poor guy dies from it.
Yeah, in four days.
Yeah. It's pretty aggressive once you get it. So,
okay. So washing your hands, avoid travel to Asia would probably be a good idea right now.
I think that's probably the pilots
union would say we're not flying. We're not flying.
Now. Yeah. I think the three major airlines have already said they're not going to China right now.
Well, so,
I'll tell you, it's one of those things where. You know, the 1917 flu pandemic, and we always forget about these type of things, but in the United States, it killed 600,000 people. And that
was in 1917. Oh, that's right.
And that single event took the lifespan of the average lifespan of a citizen of the United States down 2 years. Think about that. That is really, you know, and so those were the days where you just stay at home, don't go out, and I think they're trying to do a lot of that stuff in China right now, where they're trying to just keep people in their homes and canceling all of the big events and holiday and all that other stuff that they're doing. So
yeah, well, that's the other thing they're saying. You know, people are off for their for the Chinese New Year's,
right?
And they're just saying, stay at home. Yeah. I read an article from an American that's over there. Yeah. Who is a teacher in the international school. And he says, yeah, the only thing I'm doing is staying in my apartment and maybe going down the streets. He says, the streets are empty.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, I don't know. Hopefully this will be a memorable year of the rat. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Hopefully they sequester it. So.
Okay. Okay, let's take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cornerstone Community Bank. You know, a community bank is just like that, just like this community radio station. They're out there to help. And help our people in our community by providing valuable services. And Cornerstone Community Bank is community-oriented, professional, and they want to provide the highest level of personal service. Two branches here in town at 1845 California Street and at 192 Hartnell Avenue, the main branch there in the O'Reilly Shopping Center. And, of course, down in 500 Riverside Way in Red Bluff. You can learn more at bankcornerstone.com, but it's better just to stop in there and talk to the people. They are just outstanding. Cornerstone Community Bank wants you to experience how they move your dreams forward. You know, that's important. And once a month we get somebody from Cornerstone Community Bank, not from the bank itself, but from a business that has been a success with the help of Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back with Casey Fatch and Steve Davidson.
Get your morning update with us,
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Sedholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea. After looking at some other options, when she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted.
who am I not to give them to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Coming to the Cascade Theater February 21st, The Doo-Wop Project. Featuring Broadway stars from Jersey Boys and Motown the Musical, The Doo-Wop Project recreates pop hits from Frankie Valli and The Temptations, and they doo-wopify some of today's biggest chart toppers like Jason Mraz, Maroon 5, and Amy Winehouse. The Doo-Wop Project, February 21st at the Cascade. Get tickets today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567. It's the 11th of February, 8:20 in the morning, 56 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day today. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, trying to find that perfect, perfect piece of jewelry. Look at Four Winds Jewelry first. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. I'm here with Casey Fatch, who is the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, and he's brought with him Steve Davidson, a retired Reading City Police with Captain. And he retired before I got here. And but, you know, we're not going to talk about medical after we've gone through the coronavirus. I think people always like to hear, you know, the hospital's prepared, you know, you get right. And all that kind of stuff if something happens. Yeah. But we're talking about Measure A.
We are. And
that was kind of a surprise to me because when I saw Steve, I didn't know Steve. And I said, well, this guy's a spine surgeon? I said, wow, and he's pretty tall. And I thought bending over would probably be hurting him.
in a previous life.
In a previous life. Now we're going to be talking about Measure A.
Yeah, we are. And there's an impact on the hospital. Yeah. Generally, definitely an impact on the hospital. I think you look at some of the statistics. You know, this whole problem started, I believe, around 2011 when the realignment was done.
AB 109
was done with the AB 109
started with that.
And then what happened is, you know, they basically took 40,000 inmates out of the state prisons and pushed them back down to the county level, and none of the counties were ready for that. And it happened relatively quick. So what happened at that point, a lot of the counties had no choice, but they had to release, you know, some of the lower offenders. And then I know this is going to be a surprise to you, but now crime is back up to, you know, higher levels than it was previous to 2011. Statewide they are. There's specific, you know, the data's out there. You just got to look at it. That, you know, vehicle theft in California is through the roof. I think particularly with Reading, you've got some issues. We've got some significant issues with larceny that's starting to, you know, rear its ugly head again and is, you know, progressing. I mean, looking at some of the graphs that I've looked at. So I think this is something that we're going to have to and then the impact on the emergency rooms. You know, a lot of these patients wind up in the emergency room. They come and, you know, they have to be treated, and some of them just can't. There's no room for them in the jails, and so we have to treat them and release them. So that's
just like the jails do.
Yeah.
The let's just add on to AB 109, which was foisted on us by the legislature, but then the people of California passed Prop 47 and 57.
Right.
But if you look at, again, the way that's written, it sounds like it's going to, this is just, we're not bad guys or girls. No. And then they started lessening the felonies. What the felonies were, including rape, if you can believe that, an assault on a police officer, lowered those to misdemeanors. And then you can steal anything under the amount of $900, and the only thing you're going to get is a ticket. We have in the state of California, backed ourselves into a corner here.
We have.
So, and Steve, you were sitting here, Steve's like,
give me my turn. The other significant thing that happened is with the downturn in the economy in 2006, there were significant layoffs throughout our local criminal justice system. I remember when Chief Modi retired and Chief Pete Hansen took over at the Reading Police Department. Pete Hansen's 4 years as the chief of police with the city of Reading was basically managing layoffs and keeping the place afloat, with literally losing the entire community service officer program, 20 sworn police officers, their ability to do proactive policing and check on parolees and probationers, because of the revolving door jail, and no longer able to hold people who are under the influence of illegal drugs accountable for their behavior. And what we basically have now is a drastically underfunded criminal justice system, and from my perspective, Measure A is the only reasonable fix that we have.
Okay, and let's talk about this.
Well, you bring up a really good point, too, because that's one of the things that happens is when there's a significant downturn in the economy, there's obviously a need for public assistance and that type of stuff. So, unfortunately, sometimes the municipalities don't plan for those rainy days. And this is the type of thing that unfortunately happens.
When you start losing that many police, but we can't just say it's just the police, because we also shut down the third floor of the jail, if I remember right back then. So they've got that reopened, and then they found another 100 spots through, of all things, the showers. If you could change the shower facilities the way they were, so they could put, and probably a couple other tweaks they did, they found at the jail, they put another 100 people in there, which they filled up in less than a week. So under Measure A, they're going to build another jail that's going to have up to 400 people in it, I believe, or a facility or facilities that will have over 400 people in it, up to 400 people that you can take off the streets. Now, Steve, in your experience, and I know you probably still stay attached to the police after all those years, the impact for that jail.
It's all about accountability. And what we have now is our wonderful men and women in law enforcement who are literally every day going out and trying to figure out how to maintain behavior and get people to follow the law are so demoralized, because they know if they arrest somebody that person is going to probably get out right away, unless they committed a very, very violent, serious crime. For the most part, they'll go in the jail and they'll be out, very shortly thereafter.
I've heard stories of them being out before the end
of
the shift.
No, because the officer has paperwork to do and different things to fill out at the jail, and quite often the person gets out before the officer does.
Yeah.
One really quick example. When I was at the police department, we routinely arrested people for being under the influence of drugs, and there's a welfare and institution code section and a health and safety code sections that allow you to put people in custody for being under the influence of drugs. Those laws are still on the books today. The only reason that the police department and the deputies are not arresting these people is because they literally will not be kept in jail, so why do it? So we have all of these poor people that are living out on the street in incredibly difficult, filthy conditions that could get help if they were arrested for being under the influence of drugs, because when you're in jail, you're getting food, you're getting medical attention, you're getting counseling. The new medical assisted is working across the country. All of these things could be happening, but they're not, and it's specifically because of our underfunded criminal justice system.
Okay.
I think one of the other points to talk about is the increased funding for prosecution and for defense. I think the statistic I read was 20% of the people that are going through the court system or multiple repeaters that never show up, and the police don't have the resources to go out and collect them up. They're hard to find. And so I think that's another aspect that...
Well, I look at it like this, that it's a symbiotic system here.
Sure.
That it all of it depends on each other. That just putting them in jail, as some people have said, just build the jail, does not take into account is that if you don't have a prosecutor to be able to look at the case,
right,
or a public defender to be able to look at the case,
yep,
then I think they get kicked loose after, yeah, was it 24 hours or 48 hours?
And Measure A addresses all of that.
It does. Yeah.
And, you know, and we have Stephanie Bridget on our show on a regular basis. And Stephanie has said that her assistant DAs are working 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, trying to keep their nose above the water. And she's losing. Now she's starting to lose DAs because, or assistant DAs, because of the fact they know they can go to another place, get paid just as much or if not more, and they go back to a 5-day, 40-hour work week. We've got, if we have the jail and we arrest more people, you've got to be able to prosecute them. And we have to have a public defender to be there, too.
That's right.
So we can't just have one. We've got to have it all. We've got to take a break here.
Okay.
Home Helpers is bringing us this segment. You know, Home Helpers, Sharon Clark, has been around for 15 years, going, gosh, it's her 16th year now. Was won all types of accolades because of the care, the amazing caregivers of Home Helpers that can keep your loved ones safe and independent in their own home. And if you've been, you've had a hip injury or something like this, you can set it up so they come in a couple hours a day or a few days a week, or it can be 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. She has it all. And Sharon will meet with you for a complimentary in-home consultation to come up with a program that works for you. Learn more at readyhomehelpers.com or give them a call at 226-8350. Remember, there's no place like home. We'll be right back with Casey Fatch and Steve Davidson. Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
And now, back to our show.
Well, she got her daddy's car and he cruised through the hamburger stand now.
Welcome back to P5 Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Judaism. I think she's a, you know, I don't want to use the word sorceress because that's got the right, it's got a wrong connotation. But she is all knowledgeable about when it comes to insurance. You know, if you're having problems with health insurance, home insurance, especially after the fires, give Judy a call at 221-0441. She has her crew there that there isn't a person yet that they haven't been have not been able to help when it comes to insurance. And I can't say enough about Judy Maxwell and Maxwell Insurance and Financial. She's been helping people since 1993. Give them a call at 221-0441 or stop by at 1378 Hilltop Drive. I'm here with Casey Fatch, who's the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Steve Davidson, retired police captain here from the city of Reading. And usually we talk about medical stuff, but today, after we talked about the coronavirus, we've gotten into Measure A. And we talk about underreported crimes. And Steve, you had a great, you had an example, just from your own life.
Well, being in real estate, I see what's happening with residential and commercial real estate, and I see what business owners are going through, hiring private security and installing cameras and spending thousands of dollars on fancy metal barriers and all of that that they need to do to survive. I manage a building in downtown Reading, a medical building, and I can tell you over the last 5 years there's easily 100 crimes that I have not reported. Vandalism, theft, illegal dumping, trespassing, syringes, and all kinds of other things just thrown in bushes and all over the parking lot. And so, to me, our crime rate, even though on paper it may look like it's going down slightly, the reality of it is unless people are having their lives threatened or they have an insurance company that requires them to report it, they've stopped reporting crime because they know that the Reading Police Department and the whole system is so drastically underfunded that they can't help them. So they're surviving on their own and with private security.
In your opinion, Steve, we've already heard the impact it's had on the hospital.
Sure.
Because, you know, one of the things you pride yourself on is being able to see people in 30 minutes or less at Shasta Regional.
Yeah, right.
How many people would you say you treat that are due to
due to assault?
Absolutely. Yeah.
We treat a lot. We treat a lot of people that a lot of times they don't want to report for fear of retaliation. I mean, it's an issue. It's a real issue, and it's putting a big strain on the EMS system here. And these are patients. These are people that can be treated because, again, a lot of it does go back to drug use. There's just no question. And so that's something that would certainly open up.
Well, let's talk about the drug use.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, you retired in. Several years ago.
Yeah.
Several years.
That's putting it politely. 2002.
When Rob Pelletti came on, the very first time he came on the show, and that was, I think, three police chiefs ago. But first time he came on the show, he says, heroin's on its way here. He says, it's here, but we have not seen it yet. And he was absolutely right. The heroin epidemic, the drug epidemic, The documentary Seattle is Dying, they laid at the feet of drugs. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I was very involved in bringing that Seattle is Dying performance to the Cascade Theater. And one of the young ladies that was living on the street in Seattle was asked what percentage of the people out here have some form of addiction, and she said 100%. Now, I don't know that we're exactly like Seattle, but I got to believe that there is a significant percentage of our local homeless population that are drug addicts. And they're being offered opportunities to get help right now, but because of the fact they're being enabled to live the lifestyle they are with charitable gift giving and welfare money and, right. And that type of stuff, they're literally being enabled to live in a life that is so disappointing and so dangerous. And unfortunately, most of these people will only get help when they're arrested for being under the influence and put in the jail where they can get services.
You know, things I hear about all the time is, well, they need to find, you know, you can find the money in the budget. And that's just not true. That's just not true, my friends. Even if you went in there and you closed down and you saved $1 million a year by, you know, letting departments only not work on Fridays and all this, $1 million a year is not going to pay what it takes to build the jail or even to staff it. Right. I think it's something like $12 million a year they use, you know, that goes to the, or even more now, it goes to the Sheriff's Department for that jail and the staffing of the jail. And, you know, and the Sheriff's Department there. But it will cost another, from what I saw in the figures, $2.5 to $3 million a year just to staff a new jail. You're not going to find that.
Yeah, this is a revenue issue. This is not an expense issue. So that they're definitely this measure has to pass for this to be successful.
And I would like to quickly address that there's some sentiment going on in this whole debate that we could grow our local economy and cut regulations, and with that we could build a new jail and hire more police officers. And I just don't believe that is at all reasonable. You would have to bring in giant corporations and give away building permits to even come close to generating any kind of meaningful tax revenue. So again, I keep going back and I keep asking people, what can we do that will actually work? And again, I have not heard anything other than Measure A that will actually work.
Yeah, and let's be clear about bringing big companies in here and attracting industry when we have this type of a problem on the streets. It's just not going to happen. We're working diligently with the Chamber of Commerce to do that. But, you know, what's the park down here where we've had to put all the metal gates up?
South City.
South City,
yeah,
Park.
So I'm on the Chamber board. I first get here, and it's homeless this, homeless that, homeless this. And I said, why are you guys making it a homeless issue? It's a public safety issue. You just told me you have to send somebody in there every Friday with metal detectors to pull up all the needles off the ground so the kids can play there. I mean, this is crazy.
Not the kids were going there.
Yeah. I mean, just so.
And that, guess what? That fence worked.
It worked. It's been very effective.
We've had a shooting down at the library, which didn't seem to get as much as attention you know, that I thought it should. Mm-hmm. Because
that was drug related. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah, I thought that was outrageous, but yet it seems like, oh, well, you know, we have shootings in town. Well, we do have shootings in town, but at the library. Now, the library, I go to the library all the time. Inside it's clean and it's got, it's a great place to go to. But, you know, but it should be in such a place that you don't have to worry about sending kids.
That's correct.
There.
Carl, we shouldn't be a community that in order to keep places safe, fence them off. We fenced off South City Park. We fenced off the downtown post office. We fenced off ShopCo. When are we going to stop fencing stuff off and recognize that we need public safety? And to open those back up.
Let's open those back up by opening up another jail.
There you go.
That's my opinion. Yeah. And you know what? It's everybody agrees on the same thing. This is what I don't understand. If everybody agrees that we need a jail, somebody says, well, just build the jail and that's all. Well, that's not going to solve the problem.
You know, I've heard people say, you know, oh, every time we get a new tax, they use the money for something else. I read through this measure. There's a public audit that's going to be done every year that's going to show where this money was spent. And it's going to continue on. I mean, there's a lot of safety valves in this.
If you want to make a citizen's arrest, you can do that if the board of supervisors uses this money in a way that doesn't say, you know, in this Measure A, if they don't use it, that's against the law.
Yeah, yeah. I
will go down there with Steve and Casey, and we'll arrest anybody that's on the Board of Supervisors or any of those places that misuses the money. I'm serious about that.
No, that's
not going to work.
Hey, real quick, I think you're right. Probably 95% of the people in this community believe we need a bigger jail because nobody understands the logic of a revolving door jail. However, I do want to make a point that Measure A will also create about $1.2 million a year for programs for the addicted and the mentally ill once they are in jail. So that's $1.2 million a year to help those people out that we do not have today.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at SST Oil. Now, you know, SST Oil has been around, for 52 years. And SST Oil is an employee-owned company. They deliver fuel, gas, oil, all over the western United States. I have people in Colorado working regular jobs and out there helping with moving the jet fuel around. When it comes to fires, SST Oil is there on the fire lines, making sure our firefighters have the fuel and the support they need out there. And if you're looking for a heater, a Toyo heater, a Toyo water heater, something that runs and you'll have instant hot water for as long as you have the kerosene on it, and they'll make sure you have the kerosene. It's SST Oil. And they're always looking. They're always looking for good employees at SST Oil. You've thought about driving a truck, or you're driving a truck now and you want to stay, you know, closer to home, SST Oil, if you're just beginning, they're going to train you and bring you to the standards that they practice there, which are the highest standards. Give them a call at 241-1167. We'll be right back with Steve Davidson and Casey Patch.
Happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long. And help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call him at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here 605-4567, the 11th of February 2020. It's 57 degrees. It's going to be beautiful today. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And Cypress Square Barbershop is bringing us this segment. You know, it's a better-known business. I haven't had a haircut anywhere else for 12 years since I moved here, except at Cypress Square Barbershop. It's, like I said, a better-known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work off appointments, so you can give them a call at 244-9478. And just remember, it's man's last stronghold. You know, man's last stronghold. Okay, I'm here with Casey Fatch, who is the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center. And usually we talk about medical things, but as soon as we got past the coronavirus and symptoms and, you know, that the hospital is, you know, they're prepared for anything that happens here. And Steve Davidson, retired Reading Police Captain. We got into Measure A. So we got a caller here. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How you all doing?
Fine, Terry. What's up?
Well, the reason I'm calling, first of all, I won't get into it a lot, but there's another side to this Measure A. And that's not saying that we have to do something, but we just don't do something for the sake of doing it. If people go to the state of Jefferson State of Mind on Sunday, last Sunday, and you simply listen to the first 10 minutes of that, that will give some very interesting new updated information from Transparent California on salaries that is going to shock you.
Oh, no, this isn't about salaries. This is about the jail.
This is what happens. I just want to, I'll get off really quickly. If somebody would, and also you can go to Reading Patriots Facebook page. If you go to that and you scroll down to last night's meeting, we already have 1,000 hits. You will see that Janet Chandler will talk about 10 reasons why not to vote for Measure A, using Measure A, using quotes from Measure A, and actually having a document in front of her. So I think there's two sides to it, and I want to give people information to do that. But I would like to – I think that this salary and unfunded liability issue needs to be discussed, and I'd like to come on and discuss it with you, Carl, because it's now gotten worth
sure.
Double what it used.
Yeah, we can do that. But
okay,
when it comes down to it, though, Terry, and just take a minute, what's your solution then?
Okay, because if I try to give you my solution now in 2 minutes, I'm happy to do it tomorrow morning and give you my solution if I can have 5 minutes.
Okay, give me a call tomorrow morning.
I'll do it.
All right, thanks, Terry. Okay. And that's the thing is there are people, good people, that, you know, that are against this thing. But when it comes down to it, what's your solution?
Right.
I have not heard a viable solution.
Right. I'll just say real quickly, that's true. Again, we're hearing reasons why not to do it without any plan on how to do it. But the two things that I will address, two things. One is the unfunded liabilities. It's a real problem. Nobody's denying that. But they are now in a process with hiring new people and looking at it long term to where over time it will get corrected. It's a lot of money. But over time, it'll get fixed. We need a jail today. The other thing is...
Can I say something about the unfunded liabilities here, too, is that the money that goes to this jail and for this public safety measure cannot be used for unfunded liabilities.
It's a separate issue.
Right, it can't be used. You can't move money away. You can't take money away. Right. And yes, we do. And I'm fully on Terry's side about the unfunded liabilities, as is everybody.
Right.
But that's not going. The money coming in for Measure A can't be used for that.
That's right.
The other thing is salaries, and it does. When you look at it on paper, go, boy, that's a lot of money to pay a police officer or a firefighter. But if you're the chief of police or you're the fire captain, you have to recruit, and you have to have a market rate that's going to allow you to recruit and compete with other jurisdictions. And if you think you're going to pay police officers and firefighters some wage that is going to look good on paper, you're not going to have anybody working for you. So that's what leaders have to do. They have to look at the big picture and say, yeah, it's a lot of money, but if we don't do it, we're not going to get anybody to go to work here.
When we changed the way we hire people, we used to get a lot of transfers. The transfers stopped because they would come under the new system, and so they didn't come in that way. I mean, asking, well, why don't we do that? And it's because they would fall under the new system, so they would immediately things change. Okay, mental health. We've got like 5 minutes left. Mental health problems. That seems putting mental health cases in jail. I don't think jails are meant for mental health problems.
Well, there's a lot of treatment that goes on in the jails for mental health. The state prison is probably one of the biggest mental health delivery systems in the country. Our state prison. There are some patients that have mental illness that need to be in an environment like that because they are very dangerous. And that's just, that's just the reality of it. And so
Shasta Regional,
I see it all the time.
Yeah, Shasta Regional Medical Center opened up a 20-21 bed facility for people that were danger to themselves or others.
Right. And at any given time, I could have 10 to 12 in the emergency room.
So they and you've invited me down, and you can invite anybody down if you want to come in and see this, just what we're talking about.
Yeah, Measure A is going to help a lot with that because the medical component that you're talking about that the measure funds is also going to have some mental health component as well. So looking forward to that.
Okay. There's underreported crimes, even though that we see, that we're in, top five in the nation when it comes to, and I'm not sure how they do it, if they just do percentages, which is, I'm sure, is what they do, so it makes it look worse.
Right, it's per population.
Yeah, it's per population. So our stolen cars, I mean, it's like we've got our own mini Uber going on out there with stolen cars. They, take it one spot in town, and you find it in another spot
right
in town.
Carl, that's a really good example. We are number five or six in the nation or whatever it is, worst for stolen vehicles with the fifth or sixth highest rate. And that's because the insurance companies require it to be reported. If the insurance companies required everything else to be reported, vandalism, theft, trespassing, illegal dumping, you wouldn't believe what our crime rate would be.
And we talk about bringing people into our this is a beautiful area. If you've lived here, you realize that this is just probably one of the best places to live anywhere in the country.
Sure.
But when you try to recruit doctors here.
I told you what happened the second day I was here with my wife. She, I was working and she gave me a 911 page, called me immediately. And I said, what happened? She goes, I'm just getting my nails done. And the lady at the nail salon said, it's 115 degrees here every day in the summer, and there's a whole bunch of crime. So I said, first of all, do you see any cactuses around here? There's no cactuses. It's not 115 degrees. And second of all, so I go, what about the crime? She showed me a whole newspaper full of all these calls, these crimes. And I said, sweetheart, the only thing different about where we live now is there's not a big enough newspaper to put all the crimes in. So that's the type of mindset that you get when you're trying to recruit professionals here, and that's why we have this Reading Identity Project. And this Measure A is a big part of that. We've got to get this has got to get solved.
It does. Well, I really appreciate y'all coming in here. I know that, you took your time here that you have with us for Shasta Regional to talk about Measure A, and you brought Steve in, and I'm pleasure meeting you, Steve. I'm sure it won't be the last time you'll be in here. I just want, this is my last thoughts on Measure A, is you need to read it. and see. I read the 10 reasons.
Yeah.
You know, why you shouldn't vote for it. And I didn't see anything in there that was not addressed in Measure A, and I said that. But my bottom line is we have to get past what happened before. You know, all of it spent for this, and move forward. We have new people in positions. We have new, board of supervisors. And the question I asked was, do you believe everybody in the county is corrupt? Because that's the only way that the money will be moved, is if everybody's in the county is corrupt. And not everybody in the county is corrupt.
No, we got to look at the future.
And we have to. We've got to take that step forward.
We really do.
Okay. Hey, tomorrow, in fact, the Chamber of Commerce is joining us tomorrow with one of their new businesses. And this, we'll be talking to Jake about what's going on in our city. And, of course, Measure A is taking a big part because on March 3rd is the big day on do we pass Measure
A. Get out and vote.
Get out and vote. That's the big thing.
Yeah, get out and vote. And when you are voting, ask yourself what will work, not just what sounds politically correct, but what will work.
And if you don't agree with everything on Measure A, what is your solution?
That's right.
What's the solution? I mean, we all know that it's not working the way it is now.
Yeah. Opinions are not going to build us a new jail.
And if you don't vote, you don't get to complain.
That's right. And if you know this is going, you know, it's two thirds, my friends. Two thirds of the people.
That's a heavy lift.
Yeah, and I don't see what would be coming down the future then if this thing doesn't pass. Except, you know, if you enjoy the status quo, vote no. Yeah. But if you think there could be a better future here, you know, then take a good look at it.
There's so much more businesses we could attract and professionals. It's got to pass.
Okay, everybody, have a great day, and it's going to be a beautiful day out there. And remember, it is the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.